there is a close connection between egoistic consciousness and memory. It is memory which links my self-experience of now with the self-experience of next moment and the self-experience of the third moment. And on that string of connections, my egoistic consciousness is formulated, is formed. And it is that which goes round and round over the formation of the physical, vital and mental energies. This is the composition of egoistic consciousness. Now you might see here that here there is nothing corresponding to the ego, ego sense. There is ego sense, but nothing corresponding to ego sense, which you have seen just before. That ego sense believes itself to be independent of all the rest, but there is nothing which is independent in this movement. That is why the Gita gives a very great analogy, that supposing there is a big machine which is mounted on a motion, and you are on the tip of that machine. So all your movements are movements as a result of that machine. You as a separate individual simply do not exist anywhere. It is only a sense, but it doesn't correspond to anything real. It is like a small bell believing that its doll is alive, but there is nothing corresponding to that belief. Similarly, my ego sense believes that I am independent of all the rest, but there is nothing corresponding to it. Now, as opposed to this formation, the soul does not get composed of the physical, vital and mental energies. That's the first distinction. It is different from physical, vital and mental energies. If you use a Sanskrit word for physical, vital, mental energies, prakriti, because that is what ultimately prakriti means. Prakriti means energies, prakriti means energy of movement. And energy as manifested today is the energy of physical, vital and mental. Threefold energy, the physical in which tamas is predominant, vital in which rajas is predominant, mental in which sattva is predominant. So it is called trigunatmak prakriti. So you might say, first of all, the first distinction of the soul is that soul is not composed of this threefold energy. It's the first distinction. Secondly, the soul here is a delegate of the Jivatman. So, being a delegate of Jivatman, it has the qualities of the Jivatman. So that if it does not consist of physical, vital, mental energies, what is it composed of? Being a delegate of Jivatman, it has a composition of the Jivatman. Now, what is the composition of Jivatman? It is a centration like the specificity of the Supreme Lord Himself. Mama eva anshaha. This is the description given in the Gita. The Jivatman is Mama Eva Amshaha. He is my portion. Portion means my centration. Portion does not mean a division, my part, because divine is not divisible. He is indivisible. Anguṣṭha Mātra is the soul. Jivatman is not Anguṣṭha Mātra, is the Madhvadaha of the Kathā Upaniṣad. The eater of honey. This Jivatman is the centration of the Supreme Lord Himself. Which vibrates with, which is composed of the energies of Sachidananda. Being the centration of the Lord Himself, Satchidananda Himself, its vibrations, its energies are energies of Satchidananda. Which are all manifesting through truth. So you might say truth energy. It is composed not of physical, vital, mental energies, but of truth energy. Truth energy which consists of Sachidananda, and it is itself the centration of Sachidananda. Now, this soul is a delegate of this Jivatman. Therefore, it has all the elements of the Jivatman. This is the composition. In other words, this composition is a composition of, if you use the word of Gita, is a composition of the Lord, Supreme Lord, and Para-Prakriti. Ego is the formation of Prakriti. It is also called Apara-Prakriti. Lower Prakriti is distinguished from the higher Prakriti. So the composition of ego is that of apara prakriti. The composition of the soul, which is a delegate of Jivatman, is that of para prakriti, which is truth energy, and which is centration of the Lord. It's a double thing. It's not only energy. There is energy plus centration. A centration of the Divine Himself. Now this sensation is specific. Sustained by the divine permanently. It's a divine sensation. Therefore it is eternal. Now this specificity is distinguishable from all the other specificities. My soul, your soul, her soul, each one is distinguished from each other. Each one is a centration of the divine. Therefore each one of us is distinct from the other. So in that distinctness, each one is independent of the other, in its distinctness. But it is entirely inseparable from the Supreme Lord, because it is a centration of the Lord. In other words, each soul or each jivatma knows itself to be independent of all the others only in regard to its distinctness from the others, but not in the sense that it is independent as a separate thing from all the others. Distinct from others, yes, but not separate from all the others. This is a subtle distinction which has to be made. It is distinct from all the others, but not separate from all the others. Being inseparable from the Supreme Lord, it knows it is entirely dependent upon the Supreme Lord. And it doesn't fall into a mistake of thinking that it is independent of all the rest. Therefore, the individuality consists of its distinctness from the others, inseparability from the Supreme and from the Paraprakriti. And that it is eternal, it is inextinguishable, because the Supreme is inextinguishable. Formation of body, life and mind are constantly mutable. Therefore they are extinguishable. But the soul, which is the delicate of Jivatman, and Jivatman being the eternal centration of the divine, it is inextinguishable. Therefore while the ego and the egoistic formation is mutable, is extinguishable, the soul is inextinguishable. Now Jivatman himself, with all his consciousness, if he descends completely into the human body, as it is, with all its fullness of knowledge, then the kind of the play that is to be played cannot be played, because it will be all the time conscious, and the gradual evolution that is to take place will not take place.